Scrolling. This is an extra scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflow.
And we just got back from Wisconsin Comic Convention. And boy, did we have a lot of fun.
We did have a lot of fun. In fact, we want to thank everyone who was able to sit down and have a few minutes with us as we learned a little bit about the projects they're working on. And so, wow, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Let's get to our first interview.
Hi. How are you?
I am very well.
Are
How
you
are you folks
a good
doing?
Show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Jody Lynn Nye, you are an author. You've got all sorts of books here. So tell us all about what you brought to the Wisconsin Comic Convention.
Well, I have here, starting at this end of the table, young adult science fiction written with an actual rocket scientist, Travis Taylor, and young adult short stories. Then my own contemporary humorous fantasy series, set in the Midwest, in fact. Robert Asprin's Myth Adventure series, which he wrote the first 12 books, then we wrote the next 6 and a short story collection together, and I have carried on since he passed away with other books here. My humorous space opera, which is sort of Jeeves and Wooster in space.
Okay.
Then humorous military science fiction, medical science fiction, and fairy godparents in the city of Chicago.
Wow. All right, so I want to start with the humorous mythology series here.
Right.
Mythology 101, mythology
right.
abroad, myths,
higher mythology,
myth-gotten gains, and higher mythology. Tell us about this series.
Okay, this is all about a college student in the Midwest who discovers that there are little people living in the basement of his college library.
Okay.
The college library, which he's campaigning to have torn down and replaced with a better one instead of the sports arena that the college wants to build. He thinks it should be about education, not about sports.
Okay.
And
what is he thinking? What is he thinking?
What is he thinking? Thereby about to render his new magical friends homeless. So, and comedy ensues as he tries to fix his own problems.
Okay, so where did you get the idea for this? What kind of other books? Because I read a lot of comedy-based books, especially a comedy-based mythology / fantasy, Terry Pratchett.
Is oh, I love Terry Pratchett.
Pratchett.
No, this predates Terry Pratchett by quite a few years.
Okay.
This came out in... All right, 1990.
Okay, so where did you get the idea for these books?
Well, actually, this one started out as because of a place, not a person, not an idea. I was at college, and I used to hang out in the carrels that were in the back of the library, you know, all those levels with the books wall to wall and then study areas. And late at night, I could hear voices echoing up through it, and I said, that's kind of weird. I'm hearing voices, and there's nobody else on this floor. I know there's no one else on this floor. Where are they coming from? Years later, when I was starting to think about it, I said, what if there are people in the library late at night? What if they live there? What if maybe they're not ordinary people? And that's kind of what it grew out of.
And so you started writing when you were in college, did you?
Oh, I started writing when I was a kid. My dad was telling me just the other day, oh, yeah, you were telling stories when you were 3.
Really?
Yeah. I know by the time I was 6, I was making my own books out of his office paper and the stapler. I was not only writing them, but publishing them.
They were your first published work. What was inspiring you to write? What interested you at that time?
Oh, everything. I was rewriting my own reality because reality is boring.
Uh-huh.
So I was dreaming of superheroes and fantasy things and outer space travel and green cats and so on. Never got a green cat, sadly, but I have had wonderful cats. Not yet, no.
Life goals.
Sooner or later, exactly. Put that one up there. They tell me that there are two kinds of readers. The people who like to read about the way that things are in the world,
like
and
Chip.
Then the ones who read anything else.
Yeah, like me.
Like, and the people who read anything else read 6 times as much as the people who read stories about the kind of world that can happen to anybody.
All right.
So I discovered pretty early on that I didn't want to read about people like me. I had a book called Freckled and 14 when I was about 10, and this was about a teenager who was very troubled. And that was the last time I looked for anything like that. After that, it was Have Spacesuit Will Travel, and the Telzy Toy, and other things like science fiction and fantasy. The Incredible Flight to the Mushroom Planet, which was a wonderful little book.
We can learn so much from those perspectives. We know that they are just an analogy to our real life, and we can grow as characters as the characters in those fantasies and sci-fi
exactly.
can grow.
They're solving the same problems that we are, but in a much more interesting surrounding.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying, they're feeling insecure about their lives. They're wondering what they're going to be when they grow up. They wonder how they're going to interact with the rest of the world, what they're going to be.
And I think the best stories are those character-driven stories.
Always.
That the background is the adventure, but the characters are the foreground, where we can see that character growth from the beginning of the story to the end.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so you started writing very young in it. And you went to school and you were studying writing at that point. Tell me a little bit.
School can't teach you how to write.
Okay.
School can teach you grammar.
Okay.
School can put great books into your hands and say, here, read this because this is a wonderful story. This tells you a lot about human nature. Mm-hmm. But basically, for me, the people who tell the real human nature the best were William Shakespeare, Jane Austen, and Terry Pratchett. They were the great...
Steve's all there with you.
I'm there with you.
All of these people who come out of those books are very realistic. You can walk all the way around them instead of, here's this plastered-on spaceman who is doing this deed, but you don't know anything about his life, you don't know about his aspirations, what this means to him. But for those characters, they are so real, and you like some of them very much. In fact, we used to clear out tables for radio, you know, three table radius talking about, say, Terry Pratchett's books. I love death. Death is just
death
so
is
awesome. I think death is wonderful.
And the death of rats is so adorable.
That's my husband's favorite character,
and
the death of rats.
I love the death of rats in those stories.
That's
those
wonderful.
Those characters are so not real, but we understand them on such a
yes.
real human level.
Absolutely. We do, because he was capable of putting that across to us, creating characters that we believe in. And the more you believe in a character, the more interested you are in their story and where they're going from there.
I'm going to touch on something. You said that you read a Terry Pratchett book, but it sounds like you were part of a community discussing that. Tell me about that.
Well, I started gaming in 1976. I was playing Dungeons & Dragons back then. Yeah.
We're in Wisconsin, home of Dungeons & Dragons.
No, well, I know that. when I owe everything to a very nosy uncle who fixed me up with a former student of his, who was also lonely, and he took me to a party where I met my future dungeon master, the guy who was going to give up a job and put me into the place with that, and the person who was going to take me to my first Society for Creative Anachronism event, and thus was my future born. So I started playing D&D, I went to SCA events, somebody at the SCA event, now one of my best friends, took me to my first convention. So suddenly I had a community that I had never had growing up. There were only a few of us who admitted to reading The Lord of the Rings. I was one of the very few people, and certainly the only girl I can think of, who read comic books and admitted to reading comic books, because that was not done. It was just not done. And getting into gaming, getting into writing games. I wrote modules for Mayfair Games.
Wow.
Yeah. And from that sprang Choose Your Own Adventure books, just before Nintendo came and destroyed the market.
Yeah, right.
And writing my own books.
All right, so tell me about creativity. All right, so you have this large, you're writing early in life.
Yeah.
You have this body of knowledge that you're slowly gathering as you're reading. And then you found a community to sort of shotgun you to all the places that, you know, could help you become a published author. And to become, you know, letting the expression come out. Tell us a little bit about that.
Fandom, by the time I found fandom, I had already published technical articles, and I was starting to think about writing my own work, fiction. Mm-hmm. For the Kingdom Newsletter and the Society for Creative Anachronism, I was already doing a humorous adventure column that I had acquired from the previous newsletter editor. So I was already writing. But science fiction fandom gave me the opportunity to realize that, yes, actual people write these books. Why am I not one of them? Why should I not be one of them? And people encouraged me. What is great about fandom is it is very encouraging, because we all remember what it was like to feel like an individual geek and have people scorn you for enjoying these otherworldly things. Especially, well, I have a nephew who is 23 now, and when he was, I don't know, 4 or 5 or 6, he came to me and said, "Aunt Jody, you know all this magic stuff and spaceships and things?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know they're not real, don't you?" I reminded him of this recently.
Real is in my mind, right?
That's right. He really thought I didn't get that. Right. And I just love him to pieces. He was trying to let me down softly, which is really sweet. But, you know, when you are 6, you know everything.
I think it's about storytelling. I think that's really where we're at, is the skill of being able to tell a story. Something that you can develop in Dungeons & Dragons, for sure.
Absolutely. It's cooperative storytelling. And that was one of the things I enjoyed most about it, was getting together with people. We're creating our own reality around a table, with people who have agreed upon certain rules, certain customs, perhaps, a certain set of guidelines, and then where we go from there is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right, so let's end with this question.
Certainly.
How has this love of knowledge and sort of the creativity it kind of put together fulfilled you and made your life a happy life?
From the beginning, I've had these crazy ideas, these crazy storylines sort of popping around in my head, and I knew early on I wanted to share them. What I have found in this community are people who want to read these stories, who are interested in my visions, and that is enormously fulfilling. So I've had a lot of fun with that.
And where would our listeners find more information about your books and the projects you're currently working on?
Well, I'm on Facebook, Jody Lynn Nye, and I have a website, also jodylynnye.com or jodynye.net, shortcut to get to it. I very occasionally tweet, but mostly it's the first two is where you can find me.
And I cannot thank you enough for spending a few minutes talking about your wonderful
work. That's so nice
of
you. Thank you. I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you to Jody Lynn Nye. Wow, what a library she's created.
Well, I tell you what, this is the reason why we go to these events. She is a fascinating person. Thank you so much.
I don't know, Chip. Is that enough information to survive an extra scrolling?
Only if we come back for the next extra scrolling,
Steve. We got so many. We have so many ready to go. We got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of wonderful people to talk to, and we'll get to those this week.
And we have our new podcast coming out every Tuesday, so listen to Too Much Scrolling.
I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future. I just want to thank you for things that we don't talk about. What I want to talk about is what I want to thank you for.